everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Milan Yurkovich and your phone calls here today on New Life. Glad you're with us.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
Takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two friends and colleagues, Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing?
If you don't know who they are, well, Milan has written a book, How We Love, which I wrote the foreword to. And in that book, I said, if you don't like this book, I will give you your money back, not them. And I haven't had to give anybody's money back.
One. I think
there was one guy. He did ask for it. But I said no. And then Dr. Dave Stoopy's written Forgiving the Unforgivable, the new release, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, has just been re-released, updated, revised, and finally the truth comes out. So you can get those and other resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com. But what we're really excited about here, there are 10 days left to the New Life Race for New Life. And here it is. Here's the bib. You may not know why this would be called a bib. Milan absolutely does.
Milan knows everything.
Yeah, it's because it is worn like a bib. So
when you're in a race, you put it on so they know your number,
right,
et cetera.
Okay, so you go to the website and you download the bib, and you print it out and you pin it on. And you go run, walk. Dave's going to drive. Milan's going to swim. Dave's the pace car for the race for New Life, and we'll have a picture of the car and the bib on his car. But anyway, you do that after you get 11 people to support you at $10 each. And that pays for the average cost of 1 day of local radio. So everybody all across the country doing this in their own town, doing it on their own time, paying the $30 registration fee to be in the race, and then collecting the $110, it really helps us stay on the air, and we need your help to do that. You don't want to go to all this trouble, well, you can just send us in the support. But here's the deal.
This is more fun.
The person that raises the most receives, this is from a donor, we didn't pay for this as a ministry, but a donor said, whoever raises the most money through this, I'm going to pay for 2 round trip tickets anywhere, from anywhere, and I will give them 2 night stay in Laguna Beach. It's one of the finest tents you can rent right here in Laguna Beach.
Right on the beach.
Yeah.
Right on Main Beach, next to the lifeguard tower.
And 3 days, 2 nights, and we'll be with you. And you either get to be with us or have to be with us, whichever way you look at it. But that's all a part of our race for new life. We're really excited about it. We need your help. We need your help. And we're hoping that we can raise enough support to stay on the air. We go month to month now. We can't ever not pay the bill. Or we just don't exist.
Why don't they call that a badge? That's more like a badge than a bib. Because
I don't know. I didn't
no
invent the term.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just trying to mess things up here.
All right.
Well, that's okay.
Well, if you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. That is the number. And I'll remind you before we go to a call after the break, we have counselors all over this country, about 900 or over 900, who are on the New Life Network. Now, these are folks who we've waded through, and they've filled out and signed up through all of the registration stuff, and we believe them to be very good counselors who are very good Christians. Every now and then somebody will slip through, and we very quickly eliminate them when we find out that that isn't so. If you need a counselor, this is the place to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need a dentist, you call 1-800-DENTIST. You know about all that. That's painful. This is not as painful as calling 1-800-DENTIST. This is 1-800-NEW-LIFE for a life truly that is new, where you can live fully human, fully alive in the blessed life that God wants for all of us, with purpose and mission and meaning, versus just rocking along there. That's what we want for you. If you want that, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls.
Dave, I don't know everything. You said that on the radio. Like, Mylon knows everything. I don't know everything.
Well, I didn't know about bibs and why.
But that's not
that.
Everything.
Well, but you seem to have answers, all kinds of good answers. You're very knowledgeable. That was a compliment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
What's the matter? Can't you take compliments?
No. No. Sometimes not.
All right.
Oh.
Well, let's go to
you
Jones.
Might call the,
should we process
you might call the program.
I should call the show and talk to you
talk
guys about
that.
Let's go to Jones from Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I love your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
It's been helping me a lot. I have a question or a problem.
Okay. What can we do for you?
The question is this. How can I effectively deal with my wife that is having an affair? I discovered this 6 months ago.
You discovered the affair 6 months ago?
Yes.
What was her reaction when you confronted her about it?
She was very apologetic about it. But I discovered she's not... before, when I confronted her, she was all... It was through the cell phone and the email that I find all those information. Now, all those went into hiding. She started using a phone card to call this guy and started office phone to call this guy.
Okay, so
that's ongoing then.
Did you ask her to do anything once you found out she had the affair? Did you require anything of her?
I said she should send... him email, which he did, but I find out that email was a hoax. It was a fake.
Okay, but you didn't tell her to go get some help, or you guys get involved in marriage counseling or anything like that.
We did. I did ask call your New Life counseling session, and they gave us a counselor, which we are seeing right now.
Okay.
And the counselor said she should cut it out, too. And she did put me on the phone and left a message for this guy. But I find out later they're still going on.
Okay. Mm. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. How could we help you? What?
So the question is this. How can I effectively deal with my... She's willing to do anything I ask her to do.
Well, apparently not.
Go to the counselor with me. She's going to the counselor actually with me right now. But the question is, it's not. I still believe she's having this. She's continuing this affair behind the scenes.
Right.
So she's not willing to do everything that you want her to do.
Right.
Or she does it on a superficial way, and then
it's not genuine.
Yes.
Does the counselor Jones? Does the counselor know that this is still that you believe it's still ongoing?
Well, I told her.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. We're going to be meeting her next week.
Oh, okay. Because that's something that if you can deal with that with the counselor, that's going to be helpful. But a part of what you've got to do is realize when somebody's caught in an affair, they're really they think differently. Their mind kind of goes crazy, and they don't. They don't deal very well with reality because they're living in a fantasy world. And somehow you've got to bring her back to reality in the sense that, you know, if you're not willing to do what's necessary to rebuild our marriage and rebuild our my trust in you, then we're done. And because there's nothing more I can do with that. You have to make a choice. So if you want to continue a relationship with him, then you need to move out. And that sounds tough. That's hard to do, but it's the tough love that gets somebody in the position that she's in, where she's living in this fantasy world, to start to look at the fact that I can't have both people. You know, that's where she's living.
Yeah. What has prevented you from doing that up until now? Why haven't you made that demand?
Actually, I've done it for about 3 days. You know, I did move out, and she started looking for me. She started begging me. Unfortunately, I have kids in the house, so they were all asking for me, so I moved back in. But that was the eye-opener. She really wanted to stay with me because she said 30 years and a fear, over a 5-year affair, she can lose that.
Do you have children? Jones, do you have children? How many?
Yes. We have 4 children.
4 children. How old are they?
From 23 to 13.
Okay. You know, you don't sound very angry to me, Jones.
I don't know how I can be angry than this. I don't know.
This is what Dave is saying. You know, you're not going to be able, you say, what do I do with my wife who's having an affair and hiding it? You don't sound like it's really bothering you. It's bothering you, but you don't sound angry. A person who does not have any anger inside does not know how to set boundaries, and they don't have the ability to make something stick. Maybe your wife isn't really seen. Maybe she sees you as somebody she can take advantage of, you see.
I think so. I believe what you just said.
And so that tells me that probably you, growing up as a little child, learned to make your anger go away to make a parent happy. Is that what happened?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So then that means that you say, how can I help? One of the things you have to work on are your tendencies to be a pleaser and to work on developing some anger so that you're willing to set a boundary with her and then yourself suffer the consequence of the separation that it creates. A lot of pleasers will set a boundary, but then they get so scared inside, they end up then pursuing the other person because they don't like being alone themselves. And maybe what you have to do is you have to get a little bit more angry, and you have to give her, as Steve and Dave said, some ultimatums that really make her think, either me or the other guy.
Okay, good. I got it.
I think you need some support from some other men.
Yep.
Well, and I think you also need the support of the counselor, so that, you know, you may say it, but then when you get in that counseling room, you need to really say it with some firmness.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. What would be a good resource?
But other men too.
Let's send him How We Love, and I think he'll find both himself and her in that book. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Diane's been holding from Pensacola, Florida, listening on WEGS. Hello, Diane. Welcome to New Life.
Yes. My problem, our family problem, involves a grown son and daughter who hasn't spoken for about 2 years.
What happened?
They haven't spoken to each other? Or
The daughter was having problems in her marriage relationship.
Yeah.
And moved out because her husband was abusive and different things going
okay.
on.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, things, hiding things on the internet and this and that.
Yeah.
And so there was, you know, and she was devastated. I mean, she thought she was in this marriage forever. And the son's wife did kind of say to her, you come stay with us for a while. And she did go and visit them for a while, that maybe she could find a job or whatever. Well, then she did look on their computer, but she did a lot of housework and stuff, just trying to stay busy, 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 I guess, to not think about what was going on in her life. And then they would make comments like, well, have you found anything on the internet? Well, you're not even looking, you're not even trying. Or at least I think more my son would say that to her. And And then, you know, and then maybe she would chime in, yeah, she's been, you know, she was sleeping some in the day. And then she was like, they wouldn't listen that she was having trouble sleeping, you know, at night. And she'd be up on the computer at night. And maybe they saw her on the computer doing her devotionals Jesus. Anyway, she has a daily devotional.
Now, what is your son's complaint against
her? Well, what happened, and there was this dispute between them. Well, they, you know, she went to stay with them. Then she didn't find the job, and they were like, oh, you're not really hardly trying. Then she left and went back to where she had lived before and started staying with friends. And they thought, well, if you're scared of your husband and you're, you know, afraid of him, why are you going? And they were moving out from... They were going to be moving like 800 miles away. And the wife wanted her to go live with them. Really, she's the one that invited more than my son.
Okay.
My son didn't.
All right, so what is... What's
much about it.
What's the
and
big problem?
And she's like, no, I'm going to go back and stay where I was at. And they're like, why do you want to go back there and stay with friends? You could stay with family. But she thinks they were just wanting her to go and... take care of the house while they worked, do all the laundry.
Okay, here we go.
They weren't caring about
what?
Her trying to find a job.
Listen to
she
me.
She went back to where she was from and actually found a job.
Listen to me. Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Okay, hold on a second. Okay. Answer this real specific question.
Uh-huh.
What is your son's complaint against your daughter? Real specific. He is angry at her.
They let her borrow their car because hers was conking out, and to drive back.
And what happened to the car?
And she didn't bring it back for them to move away the 800 miles.
Okay.
She thought they wanted it back. Thought they wanted it back the 1st of August.
So what's
they had to be out there the 1st of August.
So what's
they
the
said they told her it had to be back the 1st of July.
So
and then
all right, hold on
get
just a second.
Hold of her.
Got it.
So
Diane.
She had started a new
hold
job
on there, Diane.
That vehicle to
Diane.
Get job.
Now, Diane.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a question for us?
My question is, what can we do about getting the son, the grown son and daughter to connect and have some forgiveness? Because she's hurt that he seemed to not be compassionate, that she wasn't.
Well, we've got a
job
you know, fortunately, we've got a specialist in forgiveness right here, Dr. Dave Stoop, who has written Forgiving the Unforgivable, in case you forgot, Dave. So what would you say to her? In answer to the question, how do I get these kids back together, if there is anything she
well,
can do?
You give them each a copy of the book, Forgiving the Unforgivable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's about all you can do. You know,
I agree.
I mean, as a parent, you can chide them a bit and say, come on, you know, this is family, and you need to deal with it directly and resolve it. But there's not a whole lot you can do. She's not appreciative of what they've done. They don't understand what she's going through. And that they need to slow it down and listen to each other is the main thing. And maybe if you had them in the same room with you and you just forced them to talk to each other and stay in the room until they talked it through, that would be maybe the best thing you could do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you can do that right now.
Right. All right. I'm glad you called. We'll send you two books, the Forgiving the Unforgivable, for them. I hope that will help. Right now, we're going to go to Rebecca from Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Hello, Rebecca.
Hey, Steve. Thanks so much. And to you and Mylon and Dave and all of your awesome team, we really appreciate you so much down here.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks for including us, Rebecca.
I'm going to ask you a question first. Okay?
Wow.
I know that's a novel idea, but
very good.
Let me go for it.
Okay.
We have a 26-year-old grandson who lives in another state. He was 5 years in the Navy. We have strong reasons to believe that where he is living now and was living before where he's living now, that he is in a cultish-type church.
Mm-hmm.
Our question for you is, as a family, can we do, should we do anything in this situation because it is very troubling, or is there nothing that can be done?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now I'll answer your question.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how far away is he? Does he live from you?
He's in Washington State.
Okay.
And prior to last October, he was in El Cajon, California at this same church, and they moved him.
Is he able to get mail, or do they go through his mail?
We're not sure whether they go through it or not. Anything I send to him, I always mark personal on the envelope, but he never responds to the mail. He will respond to a telephone call or a text message sometimes.
Rebecca, before we go to the break, how chaotic was his childhood with his mom and dad? How agitating, chaotic was it?
His father was an alcoholic. When this young man was 8 years old, the father walked out on the family and left. This child I'm talking about is a middle child.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. We'll get to the rest when we get back from this break. You're listening to New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right. Well, we're talking with Rebecca. Her grandson, 26 years old, is in a cult. Mylon was asking about the chaotic childhood he must have been in, and sure enough, he was raised by an alcoholic father. Mylon, you want to follow up on that?
Well, Rebecca, the relevance of that question is simply that, when a child is grown in a chaotic home, and what happens is they'll tend to go in two directions. They'll either go into a chaotic orientation themselves as an adult, or they'll go into a highly rigid construct when they enter into adulthood. And the military and cults are more of a rigid formality of following something that creates a structure in which I can rest because it feels safe. Mm-hmm. So I would just try to maintain contact with him and develop an adult relationship with him where you win his confidence, and eventually I would try to help him understand that what he's seeking in both the military and in this cult is the authoritarian. He's almost trying to replace mom and dad. Mm-hmm. He's trying
especially
to create a structure, especially dad. Dave, what would you say about that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think the best thing you can do is just what Mylon was saying to you, is to build that relationship with him. And I'm thinking, you know, Seattle is a nice place to visit in the summertime, and you might want to take a trip and say, hey, we'd love to come to your church with you.
We intend to do that at some point.
Yeah. And
the other thing, I just want to interject this before we go on because it might be helpful to you, but he worked for years when he was entering high school on being completely physically fit because he went in for the SEALs.
Wow.
So that's, you know, he didn't get in there because his swimming wasn't strong enough.
Hmm.
But he stayed in the Navy 5 years. And then, of course, this church, this series of church, sister churches, and you might be familiar with them, they always locate near military bases.
Hmm.
Seems to be fearful of or has a great anxiety about is that he's going to lose his salvation if he is in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What church is it that you're talking about?
Excuse me?
What church is it that
What's
you're talking
about?
What's
the name
about? Of it? It's in El Cajon, it was called the House of Prayer Christian Church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Up here in Tacoma, it's... I don't know if they go. They're hard to find on the internet. I mean, they're just almost impossible to find.
Yeah.
We've done an awful lot of research. Mm-hmm. I think it's called a little something different. It's in Lakewood, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And but anyway, he's fearful of losing his salvation. Now, I'll tell you one thing: these churches do. This kid has, and he was raised as a believer when he was at home because his mother is a very godly woman.
You're going to tell me he has an amazing understanding of
yes,
Scripture.
Yes, yes. Yes, he does. And, boy, he can argue you down
yeah.
on any issue because they've taken, you know, portions of Scripture and they have moved it in a way that it satisfies their agenda.
Yeah.
Build a relationship with
yeah,
him.
Don't argue Scripture with him. Just right. build a friendship.
And I'm going to send you two books.
We do that. We love him, and we don't talk about this stuff anymore. His mom used to grieve so much, she would say, you know, please, you know. And I say, honey, don't even go down that road because he has to get defensive when you do that. So let's
All right.
love him.
So here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send you two books. One is Toxic Faith.
Okay.
That'll help you understand exactly how... all this works and how he got in there and how he gets out and more Jesus, less religion, which is the positive side of the faith. And I hope that those are going to be helpful to you. But here again, just to recap, it's the relationship with him that is the only hope of him.
A stable, consistent relationship.
Right. Because he's not stupid. And a lot of times, over time, the doubts start to come, cracks in the facade occur. And then they're ready
already,
to listen.
It's already doing that if he's questioning whether he's saved or not.
Yeah.
I mean, something's happening that's,
right.
that's shaking the foundation.
Yeah. Well,
and this also speaks to us as parents, how we could create the setup for our kids to wander into something like that when they're adults themselves.
Yeah. Well, like being an alcoholic parent might set you up.
Yeah, it just might.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, glad you called. Let's go over here to Anna, who's calling us from Los Angeles, listening on KKLA. Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I'm good. Okay, I'm calling because, let me give you a little background. We have a child who's 20 years old, and she had another child. She had her own child with a 17-year-old.
Your 20-year-old had a child with a 17-year-old a year ago.
Yes.
Okay.
And he, as we all come from dysfunctional backgrounds, the person she's involved with is has come from a very dysfunctional background. The mother's an alcoholic. The father has been in and out.
Whereas your daughter has come from more of a normal background.
Well. Somewhat. I mean, our background. My own background is dysfunctional myself. But I gave a vow that when I got married and we had raised the children, that I was going to give it 110% to have a somewhat normal God raising family and a normal family. And then lo and behold, my second child is Down syndrome.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, what's the question for us in a situation like this?
Well, the question is that, of course, my husband was very upset because she all of a sudden said that she had a boyfriend, and 1/4 of July, and then she said that she wasn't seeing him, and then she said she wanted to move out and live with my parents. And then the next thing we knew, she was pregnant.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll hear this after this break. We'll be back right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. And I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back with Anna. Her 20-year-old got pregnant from a 17-year-old. Anna, what's the question for us? How can we help you in this situation?
Well, the question is that I really want to embrace this child because the Bible says to love and to forgive.
Right.
And that is what I want to do.
Good.
And so I know that you guys talk a lot about boundaries, and you have the book on boundaries and whatnot. And the thing is that I've really asked my husband to embrace this child, but my husband really does not want to do that. And I feel that perhaps I'm overstepping my boundary by asking my husband, I'm not constantly nagging him, but from time to time I'll ask him, well, why don't we have him over for dinner, or why don't we take them
right.
someplace?
Good idea. Because really good idea.
This person is mm-hmm. forever in our life now
yeah.
because of my grandchild. So I wanted to know whether or not I'm overstepping my boundaries.
No, you're not. It's my thought. Hey, I would encourage you to just keep encouraging him, saying, come on, this is you got to deal with reality. I know how hurt you are. And how, I mean, when a daughter does that, I don't have daughters, but I've got granddaughters, and I know that if my granddaughter happened, my granddaughter, it'd be devastating to me as a grandfather. But I would have to work it through to where I say, you know, this is my grandchild. And I would give both messages to your husband. Say, I know how hurt and disappointed you are.
Yeah.
Because it's not the way we wanted it to be.
Right.
But we've got to deal with the reality that this is our grandchild, and I need you by me. And don't stop. Just stay, you know, keep the pressure on him in a loving way, recognizing the hurt and disappointment that he's got.
Could I ask you another question?
Hold on. Let us finish with this one first, and then you can ask
okay.
us another one. Because I just wanted to say
okay.
that, how old's your husband?
He's
40.
40? Yeah.
I would just say to him, honey, like Dave said, I know this stuff and all, but this little baby really needs a 40-year-old more than he needs a 17-year-old or 18-year-old.
Yeah,
and we need to be the solid, strong, consistent force in this baby's life, because our daughter and this boy, who knows where they're going to, you know, they're young. They're in, they're out. They're up, they're down. Let's be the consistent force. But, Dave, you had a question about that?
Anna, how old were you when your daughter was born? And how old was your husband when your daughter was born? He's forgotten
that.
Ironically,
you happened to ask that question.
Yeah, I mean, you said he's 40 and your daughter's 20. So, I mean, you guys had to be 20 when your daughter was born. So
I was 25, actually.
You were 25 and he was 20. So the women in your family like younger men. You need to you need to remind him of his roots there and say, come
good
on.
Good point, Dave. All right.
The other thing I would do, Anna, as you recover from that reality check, I would take the time to develop and cultivate a relationship with your granddaughter yourself and let him come along at his own pace. I wouldn't hammer him every day. I think periodically you need to remind him of this is our responsibility.
Once a week.
But I would say if you're not ready to have a relationship with her, I'm going to have a relationship with her, and maybe at a later time you'll feel comfortable doing that. Because the two of you are adults, and this is just an opinion on my part, that you could have your own relationship with your granddaughter, and your husband does not have to be necessarily a part of that equation right now.
Okay, I like that. And then I'm going to send two copies of How We Love Our Kids, one for grandmother, one for daughter.
Yeah.
Dave, any thoughts?
Is the baby born?
Yes, the baby's 1 year old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that part. So
that's okay.
I would think that seeing that little girl would rip his heart open.
However, see, you have a developed right brain which has empathy in it. There are people who grow up in this world where empathy is driven out very early on, and they don't have high levels of empathy.
All they got is a left brain.
That's correct. And so they don't have the capacity to look upon a little child and have their heart ripped out. They really don't.
All right. Before we go to the next call, I want to remind everybody we're going to Israel, and I would like for you to see us over there by the Dead Sea. We were there just a few weeks ago. We're going to be there again in June 6th through the 16th. We'd love for you to come. Stephen Curtis Chapman's going to be there. Mylon Yurkovich and Kay. John Townsend, Sherry Denham, myself. Great time. But here we are next to the Dead Sea. Watch this. We're here at the Dead Sea, and all my life I've heard how dead it was. And I think I've heard every devotional possible on that Dead Sea and no water going out and coming in and all of that. I've also heard how fun that it is. Is it fun, Joe? Joe Franklin says it's fun. But what I never counted on, what I never thought, was how beautiful it is. This is one beautiful sea. I hope you'll come see it. June 2011. Come experience new life in the Holy Land. All right, not too late to sign up. Come join us. We'd love to have you there. It's going to be a great time, and I just don't know of a better trip, a better itinerary, and you'll really love it. Especially if you're single. We've got two singles coordinators that are, their job is to make you happy.
They did an incredible job on that last cruise.
They sure did.
They really did.
Yeah, they did. All right, let's go to Bob from Alva, Oklahoma. KREJ is the station. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good. Great.
How can we
That's
help?
That's my claim. My wife is, I don't know what her diagnosis is, but she has mental illness, and we've been married 5 years. We're in our late 40s.
Okay.
She's, during her sad period, which I've nursed her through these last 5 years, she becomes delusional, and I like to think that I'm part of the family now because I've heard these same stories throughout the whole family, how they're all drug addicts, they all beat on her, you know, all these stories. Mm. And this particular year, she's turned on me, and of course everybody's been wonderful to me, the pastor. Everybody's been wonderful.
That's good. That's good.
And supportive. So she had me arrested on New Year's Eve.
Why?
Of course, she said that she chased me around the front of our house where there was a trailer hitch, and she tripped over it. And a couple days later, she filed a abuse thing, which the police wanted to file against her for filing a false report.
Mm.
Understanding her condition, because they've been out there three times earlier. And,
I see.
And so they understand her condition.
Right. Okay.
The family understands her condition. They've all been through it. They were all supportive, and they're supportive now.
Okay.
My question is, she's filed for divorce. It's been less than 90 days. Our divorce becomes final next week.
Wow.
Yeah. Everybody's aware of her condition.
Now, the caller, the screener said something to me about goats. What does that have to do with this?
Well, the evening, I was giving her an example. The evening that she said that she was, in fact, her report was, I beat her, strangled her, kicked her, and threw her up against the wall. That was the whole report, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What does that have to do with goats?
Well, I was out at the goat pen when that particular evening, breaking the ice up on the stock tank, and she flips her phone open and dials her son and starts screaming, "You're killing them! You're killing them!" Indicating to her son that I was beating our defenseless,
all right,
beautiful little goat.
Okay, how could we help you then? What's the question for us?
I don't know what direction to take. She never allowed me to become her advocate. She's in total denial that she has any kind of mental illness. She has been to a counselor.
How long have you been married to her?
5 years.
And before the 5 years, you saw none of this?
Yes, I did.
You did? But you thought it'd work out or something?
Yeah, well, I never thought that I would be the person that she found, you know, in her delusional state. It's like she's being tormented by these ideas that she's created in her mind. Last year, year for 3 days, she sat on the threshold.
Bob, after the break, I want to know what superhero outfit is under your street clothes, okay?
Yeah.
I want to know, is it like Green Lantern, Superman, you know? Who is under there?
Mm.
You see, who do you have to be that you would marry this person?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know who your superhero outfit is underneath your street clothes when we come back.
And with that insight, then maybe we can help you with the dilemma. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the final segment of New Life Live right after this.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
Hi everybody, Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
I don't know how to say. Okay, talking with Bob, and 5 years ago married a woman with some severe mental problems, and now she's turned on him, divorced him, and Mylon's asked, you know, what is it inside that made you believe that you could really help this person, or that it would be okay to marry this person? Have you thought about that, Bob?
Yes, during the break. I'm a talented, compassionate smart person, and I and she seen this in me, and at the time we met, you know, I was very lonely and I was drinking often, and she brought me into sobriety, and she brought me closer to God, and we had a wonderful relationship. We were until recently just the best of friends, and so that brought out into me, you know, a lot of self-esteem, and so
the rescuing
reward,
so the
rest
Bob the rescuing
know, I mean
Bob
reward,
so
but you know I found her to be like my person that you know made me feel good, that my image, you know, and
sure.
So
Bob,
that's
okay, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, Mylon's got
so,
a question.
So,
for you.
So the you said the role we had was so wonderful. Even you opened the show with Bob. How are you? I'm wonderful, and I'm wondering if your idealism isn't really getting in your way here. You see, you entered in to the relationship with this lady, and it was amazing to you because you were the rescuer, and she was the victim that needed rescuing, and it gave you purpose. And yet she was very wounded, and one day that wounding turned back on you, and you're mm-hmm. surprised. It doesn't surprise us that one day she would wear out of the idealism, and she would then turn on you. That doesn't surprise us.
I would assume that it wouldn't surprise.
So what should he do?
Well,
what do you think he ought to do?
I think she has declared the action. And I would not try to fight it. She says, I'm done. I'm leaving you. And I think I would just simply let her go. And I would view myself as fortunate that I've escaped as perhaps unscathed as you has been. Mm-hmm. You have been. I think she's a very unhealthy person. And Dave has a comment about that.
It's an untreated condition, and she's not about to treat it. And so nothing's going to change. And you've got to recognize that, Bob. There are some things that... You know, we as counselors, I would look at somebody like her and I would say, I'm not equipped to help her. There are other counselors mm-hmm. who specialize in that type of issues. I'm not, because there's nothing I would know how to do. Now, if I'm as a licensed counselor who's got 35 years experience, don't know what to do, you've got to come to that place where you have to say, there's nothing I can do. I cannot help this lady.
Did you hear that, Bob, that Dave's saying with all his experience, this isn't a situation he feels like he could really help if she's not going to get treatment for it?
I recognize that.
Okay.
Okay, so then you walk away, and as Mylon said, be glad that you escaped, because, I mean, mental illness is a tough thing to deal with. If you're in the family, but when you're being kicked out of the family and become the outsider, as far as she's concerned, you know, I mean, you probably want to stay in touch with the rest of the family. But boy, it's hopeless.
Don't you think he could also use that as a bargaining chip? Say, okay, we're divorced, but if you ever want me back, I might be open to the idea if I saw you making great strides toward dealing with your schizophrenia or whatever it is the diagnosis.
Like
it's something that I've considered. I've considered letting this divorce go through becoming her friend under the obligation that she acquire psychiatric help.
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
But I'd be very careful about it, Bob, because, you know, there's a limited capacity to understand, and there's also a limited capacity to follow through if she were to get the help. And you know, staying with the program would be a big, tough one. And if the family doesn't know how to do it, you know, I don't know how you're going to help her. But, I would say, hey, I'm here. If you ever need me, I'm still here. I care about you. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from, yeah. And I accept that.
And there's a danger in him being in a two of a codependent role with
right.
her, to yeah. being too quick to, again, rescue, divorce or not.
Exactly.
He needs to stay away.
And I just want to say this, that there may be something that you don't know that you don't know. Okay?
Yes.
That down deep inside, there is still this force within you that says, once we're divorced, then I'll finally be able to help her. And what we're saying is, we don't think that's likely. Okay, now here's the real thing that you may not know. When you walk away, if you do, down inside, there is this thing, this force that's saying, I'll be able to fix the next one.
You got to deal with that.
And so you'll find somebody that's not as sick as her, and you'll think, this is going to be better.
That's a great insight, Steve.
But it's not going to be better. So use this as an invitation for you to deal with your codependency and go to some CODA groups and Celebrate Recovery, Life Recovery Group. Do some things that might benefit you so you don't end up in this same situation again. Boy, that's a tragic situation.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. But, you know, his loneliness and his own alcoholism, you know, was... You know, very much a factor he needs to deal with very strongly, because that's what pulled him into the relationship with this person.
Well, as a matter of fact, when he was sick with his alcoholism, it's probably the healthiest she might have been, because she
took care of him.
Take care of him. She was
had
a caretaker.
A project.
Yes.
And sometimes the project can distract you from, you know, the other stuff. And then now what do I do? All right. Well, we're grateful that you've been watching or listening to us here on New Life. We need your support. One of the ways you could do it is join us for the New Life Race for New Life. You do it locally, and you just go to the website, download the bib or the badge. The badge, whatever it is.
No, it's a bib.
It is a bib. And you do the race in your area. 11 people supporting you in that race for $10 each is $111. $110, and if someone gives you a dollar tip, it's $111. And that goes to support one day of local radio, the average cost for us, and it really does help. We need your help. We need your support. And if there's any way that you've never given before, a gift of $50 or more, we'll send you every man's Bible or the Life Recovery Bible, whichever one you need. Don't forget to go to the website at newlife.com and find out about that Israel trip. You will love this trip. Come and join us. It'll be a great one. And then we've got the marriage seminar coming up with Dr. Dave Stoop, Mylon Yurkovich, myself. We're all going to be doing these, and it's going to be a powerful weekend. And some of you need to be saying to your spouse, don't you think this is the least we could do? Don't you think this is the very least we could do, given the trouble we've been through? Because we've seen people ready to walk away end up with a new passion for each other and a commitment to stay in that marriage. It is never too late. At least give it a try. You can find out about that and all the other things we do, including our workshops like Lose It for Life and Every Man's Battle and the Transformation Weekend in Philadelphia. We love you. We care about you. We want to help you. And we appreciate it when you help us help others. If you need something, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and the website newlife.com. My thanks to Dave and Mylon and all of you that support us. Thank you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.